Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do give you grace. We do give you thanks, especially for that grace. Father, it is you who hold us so many times close to your heart, but always in the palm of your hand. Father, we ask that you would remind us all to see this, to be reminded each and every day, especially in those times of trouble, those times when we feel so far away, that you are there and your love is present for all of us. Father, we ask at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight. O Christ, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe you are like my family growing up on cold, wintry days, somewhat like today, perhaps, where you have your dad go down and light that firewood place to keep the house warm, as well as mom baking some cookies for you throughout the day to have some treats, and possibly you, along with your brothers and sisters, bringing out a jigsaw puzzle so you can work together and not fight each other throughout the day. My parents have a large family, but we didn't sing songs together like the Partridge Family, though we could all sing and sing in parts too. Instead, I guess you could call us a bunch of puzzlers. With at least 12 pairs of eyes, we'd work on puzzles of monstrous size. Some we completed were at 5,000 pieces. We were like most beginning this task, putting together those things like the corners and straight pieces first in between. And then we'd zero in on the picture on top of the box. As anyone who has ever put puzzles together knows, if you are without that picture, if you are without the clue to what that final product will look like, then you're in for a big challenge. You might need to have Tua Leave on standby because you might start to have a headache before too long. It's more frustrating and wearisome to do a puzzle without knowing what the final product is supposed to look like, as life itself can be too. Look at the picture on the box. Life can be sort of a puzzle at times, like I said. We can only see one piece of the puzzle with a handful of others surrounding it and wonder what it's going to look like at the end. Perhaps the part of the piece of the puzzle in your life you're holding on tightly today is of darker tones. It's reflective of the trouble that you're facing, possibly a loss of a friendship, a pink slip, an unexpected death. After the services last week, there was a lady that came in. She was single, but she was also pregnant. In 2 weeks, she says, her baby is due. Out on the streets and without any hope. We try to help as much as we can, but sometimes there's only certain things that we can do. Maybe you were facing times like that. Or possibly the guy that's at, down the street without a job and trying to figure out how to pay those bills. If you ask the people, like we all do, how is your day? And the truth comes out, they'll say it's been really tough. It's been rough. I wish that life didn't have to be so tough for you, that you would not have to see all these dark spots in your life. But when the dark times come, you have to look at that bigger picture there. The picture on top of the box. You're here to hear the good news. By God's grace, you have salvation. By God's mercy, you have an eternity with Him. Yes, life may be tough right now, but the final picture on the puzzle is one that God is putting together for you. A good and gracious God, as Ephesians 1:11 tells us, that works out everything in conformity with the purposes of His will. Look at the picture on top of the box again. Your struggles and pains are there, but notice that it's only in a small corner this time. The rest of the picture you see is one with God dominating the whole picture for all eternity. I believe Joseph saw the bigger picture. We pick up the story again. We began 7 weeks ago, found at the end of Genesis in chapter 45. It shows us of a scene of Joseph and his brothers all together once more, instead of harsh treatment by the brothers here to their little brother Joseph, and the retaliation that he gave back to his brothers. We see Joseph could not hide behind the tears anymore. He weeps in front of his brothers and says, "I am Joseph. Is my father alive? Please come closer. I am Joseph, your brother whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. Don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me in this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you." Joseph had it all figured out. It was if he got up from the table with all the pieces of his life before him and saw all of it coming together as one. "God has been doing something here through me," he might say. "God is bringing about something good through it all." Now, going through the book, You'll Get Through This by Max Lucado, we have retold the story of Joseph. There's one thing that remains constant and is always constant: God bringing about his will as he continues to turn evil into good. Let me say that one more time for us all. God brings about his will as he continues to turn the evil into his good. Joseph went through some turbulent times, you could say. Times he didn't quite understand why this trouble was upon him. But Joseph would always lean upon his hope and his help, his Father and our Father in heaven too. You'll find this to be true with many of the faithful recorded within the Bible. They'll lean upon that same hope and help that we have always leaned upon too. Take, for instance, Job here, a man who pleased God and was labeled as righteous. He had many awful things done to him that he wasn't sure why was happening. Sores and boils for his flesh, children being killed, as well as his wife leaving him, his wealth and riches gone. Yet in the end, we find him saying, in Job 19, 25 through 27, "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought." Righteous Job saw the bigger picture. David and Daniel and Nathaniel and Nehemiah too, all of them faced evil, and all of them in the end turned to God like Joseph and saw it all for good. The bigger picture is recorded in scriptures. God rules over the nations, and in Hebrews 1:3, he upholds the universe. This sovereign Lord, ruler of the universe, is holding it all in together just for you and me. Life here on this earth is directed by him, and that's fine by me. Sure, the effects of what we have done in the garden play a major part in what we see immediately. But God has planned it all the way through. Joseph realizes this and says, "God has set me here, not you." So what does Joseph do? Seeing how wonderfully God brought all this together, Joseph's life being used for the good of many people, including his own family, he weeps. Tears of joy stream down his face as his brothers, his family, his father, for all of them being saved by God. Joseph, who by the hand of God was brought to this place, now calls all of them to come on down and live with him. Joseph gets to care for all of them, to share with all of them and his brothers the rich bounty from God's hand that preserves them and the entire region through God's ways. I want you to remember this pattern. Evil, God, and then good. As Max says, it's the drum pattern set forth by God. Evil does happen, but God takes it and uses it for good. We struggle with many things. Our troubles in this world are numerous. Watching the news at night, we see evil reported more than good. Where is God in all of this? Where is the next part that brings about this good? I told the men on Thursday night a little story. It was a children's message that I gave where I asked the children a question, a simple question, I thought. What must you do to get into heaven? And I was hoping for the easy answer to come out. Believe in Jesus Christ, have faith, get baptized, those sort of things. However, as I've gotten used to, and you as well have seen, my plans were foiled again. What must you do to get into heaven? The answer I got was from a little child, perhaps 5 years old, who said, die. We didn't pray after that. But that's all he said. We have to die. The child is right. You know, what can I do? Really, nothing is the answer to that question. Nothing at all. We are all fallen, and by God's promise, we die because of our sin. Yet God is sovereign and Lord of all. He brings about his will, and it shall be done. A servant in the form of his son is sent to deliver us, even from death. What does Jesus do? Jesus, our brother, gets carried off away from his family. Our sin brings him to the cross on a hill. Willingly and knowingly, Jesus is tortured by the full weight of our pain and affliction that's produced by our own sin. As Max says, Satan's demons lurk there. Jesus' enemies smirk there. All that is evil rubs its hands in glee. This time, Satan whispers, this time I will win. For a sad Friday and a silent Saturday, it appeared he had. The final breath, the battered body, Mary wept. Blood seeped down the timber into the dirt. Followers lowered God's son before the sunset. Soldiers sealed the tomb, and night fell over the earth. Yet what Satan intended as the ultimate evil, God used for the ultimate good. God rolled away the rock. Jesus walked out on Sunday morning, a smile on his face, a bounce in his step. And if you look closely, you can see Satan scampering from the cemetery with his forked tail between his legs. Will I ever win? He grumbles. No, he won't. Stories of Jesus and Joseph and 1,000 others assure us that what Satan intends for evil, God uses for good. Remember the pattern, evil, God, then good. Yes, it is true one day. In order to enter into heaven, we must die. However, when you and I look at the final picture, the whole puzzle piece, when it is completed, we will be able to see the good that God makes through it all. For the last time, perhaps, and throughout many times throughout your life, let's say that phrase Max put together for us. You'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be great. But God will use this mess for good. Don't be foolish or naive, but don't despair either. With God's help, you'll get through this. And we do. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, both now and forevermore. Amen.